I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's the 10th day of August, USDA Report Day. Daryl Good in studio with us to take up the numbers released at 7:30 a.m. Crop production and WASDE figures were released. Daryl, can you go through some of the big changes that were made?
Yeah, I think what most people were looking at, of course, were for corn was the estimate of harvested acres and then obviously the average yield. Compared to what the USDA found in their June survey, they did lower their projection of harvested acres for corn grain by about 1.5 million acres. The average yield projection came in at 123.4, which is kind of mid to lower end of trade expectations, and a crop just under 10.8 billion bushels. So on the supply-demand balance sheet, then what the USDA is forced to do is say, okay, how is that small crop going to be rationed during the year ahead? Because we do have to cut consumption considerably, USDA projecting about a 1.3 billion bushel cut in consumption next year. And they've distributed that pretty much across categories, with the biggest cut coming in feed and residual use of corn, as typically is the case, but also penciled in sizable cuts in ethanol use and exports of corn. And that leaves us with kind of a bare-bone carryover next year, 600, 650 million bushels. And an average price, USDA has that in a wide range from $7.50 to $8.90. So the midpoint is $8.20 average price for next year.
It is a high price. Let's begin with the ending stocks for the 2011-12 crop, or last fall's harvest, because they did increase that, which I'm not sure many people were expecting or were thinking would happen. Does it make sense to you, and how big was the increase?
Yeah, I think what we saw was a 50 million bushel reduction in projected exports for this year and a 50 million bushel cut in projected use of corn for ethanol during the current year. I think both of those were pretty well anticipated as we've watched the weekly numbers on corn exports come in below the needed rate, and also the last several weeks, the slowdown in ethanol production. So I don't think those numbers were a huge surprise, but they do add about 115 million bushels to next year's supply, which does partially offset the small crop, but obviously that's a pretty small number compared to the crop size.
Yeah, and another number farmers are usually interested in, simply because they have a vested interest, is the import number for corn. That increased just a bit for the incoming year as well.
Yes, in fact, it did increase quite a bit from 30 million bushels to 75 million. Presumably all of that is going to be Brazilian corn coming from their large second crop harvest last year. So even for the current year, they did increase that just a smidgen, but most of the increase was for the next year.
On to the demand side or consumption side of the ledger for the 2012-13 corn crop. The numbers changed for almost all the categories. Start with the livestock sector.
Well, I think when we look at the feed and residual use of corn projected at 4.075 billion bushels, that's down from the 4.55 projected this year and the 4.8 projected last month. Again, I think it's basically a statement of what's available for feed use. And where that cut is to take place, I think, is still to be determined. We hear anecdotally that there are a lot of cattle heading for auction, heading for slaughter. That will keep beef production pretty high for the rest of this calendar year, probably. But then we would be looking for smaller feedlot inventories as we go through 2013.
Anything in the consumption side numbers that simply look off base to you from USDA?
No, I don't think so. I mean, people are going to fuss with how is that cut distributed, and we'll have to watch the numbers on a weekly basis. So the ones we have most access to are the weekly exports and the weekly ethanol production. So we'll kind of follow those as the marketing year starts and unfolds to see if the necessary cuts are being made. But again, I think USDA is saying this is all the corn we have to use. Somebody's going to have to cut. This is how we see the cut being made. And we'll see if those category cuts hold up or not. But certainly the total is clearly right.
820 is the midpoint, is a fairly high cash price for the season's average. What should producers do at this point, if anything, about marketing the coming crop?
The expectation is that prices will remain high for an extended period of time now to make sure that we do get this rationing done. Partly the answer depends on what do we expect in any future changes in these numbers. Will the crop forecast get smaller or perhaps larger as we move forward? My bias is that we will be looking at smaller numbers on the production side moving forward, so that keeps me pretty bullish prices, and I think we'll perhaps continue to see new highs in the corn market. But obviously there's risk, and I would just fall back on the strategy of saying whatever bushels you have to price, let's just do some spreading of sales here as we go into harvest. I think this takes a little bit of pressure off of the concern about the harvest time price for crop insurance. It seems to me that these prices will hold up probably a little longer than we thought, which may keep the October price pretty high. So maybe producers have less concern there in terms of how to manage that insurance payment.
Tempering the upside, I suppose, might be the increase in the USDA's wheat numbers that were released on this Friday morning.
Yes, they did increase their forecast of wheat feeding by 20 million bushels, but that's, again, pretty small drop in the bucket compared to total feed demand. One thing that may influence feed consumption here near term and as we go through harvest is reports of a lot more corn being harvested for silage and that being put in particularly the cattle rations here this fall. That may substitute a bit for corn feeding, but perhaps not a lot. But I think all end users will be looking for as many substitutes as they can for this high-priced corn.
Take up the soy complex now.
In the case of soybeans, USDA, again, lowered their estimate of harvested acres by about 700,000 compared to the June survey. Yield estimate came in at 36.1, which is probably at the lower end of what the trade was looking for, and a crop of just under 2.7 billion bushels. That's about 12% smaller than last year's crop. And again, it says we are in a situation where we're going to have fewer soybeans available for use, and we're going to have to make some fairly substantial cuts. For the current year that ends at the end of this month, USDA did raise their forecast of the domestic crush by 15 million and exports by 10 million. So their expectation for September 1 stocks dropped 25 million, which adds to the problem presented by this small crop. And then as we move into next marketing year, USDA is suggesting, these numbers basically say we've got to cut consumption by 400 million bushels next year. And how do we get that done? USDA is looking for the biggest share of the cut to be in the export market, although domestic crush will also have to come down substantially. We'll end the year with very small stocks of corn or soybeans and looking at a season's average price between $15 and $17.
Just, what, 115 million bushels left in the bin by the time we get to the end of the year? That's a very small start to the marketing year.
Yeah, that's getting down towards 4% or less, and that's, I think most of us believe you just can't go any lower than that. So this is really a statement of use of what's available, more than a projection of actual demand. It's just saying this is all the beans there are. How are they going to get allocated between the domestic and the export market? And we'll use all we have, but we're limited on the supply.
Can we expect soybeans to be imported into the United States?
You know, I think there is some expectation that we could import soybean meal, perhaps, as we have done in the past, into some of the Atlantic ports. USDA did bump their projection of the Brazilian crop for next year another 3 million tons. If, in fact, that does materialize, there should be exportable supplies available from South America, and we may find ourselves doing that next summer.
Thank you so much, Daryl.
Thank you, Todd.
Daryl Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.